So it's the fifth week of Advent, of our 7 weeks of Advent series here at St. Lydia's. And this is seems to be the text that we've been building towards, what's known as Mary's Song of Praise, the Magnificat. And as we just read, it is just so beautiful and celebratory and an exaltation where she just sings out, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my favor, God, my savior." Samantha's just adding, "The mighty has done great things for me." Yes, yes. And not only does Mary sing of the ways God has lifted her up in that moment of this encounter with Elizabeth, where Elizabeth, who is her older cousin and pregnant with John, celebrates her own arrival, Mary's arrival, who is pregnant now with Jesus. Not only does Mary sing about the ways God lifts her up in that moment, but also of the ways God lifts everyone up who is brought down. And like Hannah's song that we heard from Heidi last week, Mary echoes the promises and the truth of God's love, which turns the unjust world as we know it upside down. And Mary does this in a really interesting way. She uses the past tense, God has done. She uses the past tense to describe God's activity like it has already happened. For her, this moment is its own fulfillment. And Elizabeth had just said to her in the verse previous to what we've just heard is, "Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." It is the perfect text to claim this season of Advent. And it is the perfect text to usher in hope. And yet, when I read it, I struggled with it. I had a really hard time connecting with Mary's words. I think the weight of this year is finally hitting me, especially in these last few months. I just haven't felt like myself, and I've been worrying about a lot of things, like I know many of you are. And even though I'm a hardcore introvert, I'm starting to miss not seeing people that I love. I miss spending time in a bookshop or lingering in a cafe just to people watch. I miss seeing other people's lips and the lipstick. It surprises me that we hear Mary's song of praise just weeks, or in some churches, just days before Christmas itself. I would think that we should hear this story much earlier in the year, like March or April, so that we can get the full effect and journey with her through her pregnancy with all her emotions. Mm-hmm. We only hear about her joy, but what else did she think about? What else did she worry about? What did she eat or drink or not? And what did she and Elizabeth talk about when they were together all those 3 months? And what kind of wisdom and secrets did they share? When the lockdown for COVID hit earlier this year, I thought about all the people who were pregnant or new parents and the loss of not being able to have extended family around to help teach them how to be in this new role or what to expect. When a baby is crying at 3 a.m, Google can't give you a hug. I would have liked to have journeyed with Mary a little bit longer this year. I would have liked to have known with her what her pregnancy was like. Like, when you're conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, do you get morning sickness? I would think you would burp in like sparkles. That feels like something Nadia Boltz-Weber would say, but if she's already said that, I'm saying it again. You would have a magical pregnancy, perhaps, if conceived by the Spirit. But as I was thinking about this more, we have had our own kind of pregnancies this year. The past 9 months or so has been a sort of gestation period. We could think of the middle of March and the New York on pause, for those of you in New York, that lockdown as a kind of conception, a beginning into this new way of being, a new role for ourselves and the way we live and move in the world. Our lives have dramatically changed this year. And it has been a crazy year. You know, from not having enough PPE or toilet paper to not having basic health insurance or losing jobs or income, to the police violence and murders of Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, and so many more Black, Brown, Indigenous people of color because of racism and white supremacy. And the ongoing misinformation about COVID and political divisiveness is also leading to poor and uneducated whites to act against their own interests and even to their deaths. The COVID pandemic has exposed the underlying inequities in education, healthcare, housing, childcare, employment, criminal justice, immigration, the elections, and every system in that our country operates. And we as a country are more divided than ever, while the current president continues to usurp power for himself and his descendants. It could feel as if God's justice is so far off from where we are. And when we think about our own lives this year on a more personal level, our bodies, our minds, our hearts are changing. What has shifted for you? What have you noticed? What have you learned? Have you made decisions this year based on new priorities of what's important and what's not? We've had to do a lot of things differently and more creatively this year. We've thought about what we can let go of, and the things and the people that we long for. The shifts that are coming to prepare a new way of life. And just this week, two really big things happened that made me think about this new life and new way of living. The first is, for those of you who are in New York, Middle Collegiate Church yesterday burned down, and except for the front facade. And I was thinking, God, what a shitty way to end this year. But of all the churches, for this terrible thing to happen, and we know that church is so much more than just a building, but it really is an awful experience. But of all the churches for this to happen to, I said, wow, thank God it's Middle Church, because they are a resilient congregation. And they are an amazing, amazing church leading, I think, for many of us on the realms of justice, social justice, racial justice, God's justice, and revolutionary love. And I said, you know, they are resilient. They will bounce back. But I also think, I wonder if they may use this opportunity to really lead the way in doing church in a different way. They're not going to be able to go back anytime soon. Maybe, I don't know. They could build back if they wanted to, but I think they might be able to do something totally radical different and lead us and lead other congregations into doing church differently moving forward. That's just my thoughts. And then the other thing that happened this week that made me feel really excited was the announcement by Elliot Page coming out as transgender, and just that liberatory statement he put out on social media. It felt like a birthing moment for him and a celebratory one, to hear the news of his truth and his joy and his fragility, and his advocacy for other trans people. So those were two examples just this week that are describing this kind of shift for a new way of life. But at the moment of preparing for this sermon this week, I wasn't ready to hear the words of Mary's song. I've been having trouble feeling her joy with her. And I felt bad about myself, almost like shameful. Like, I should feel more excited about this. But it just kind of like glazed over me this week. So I thought, that's curious. Maybe that's why I need to hear her words now. When I was in seminary and working as a contact tracer now, I was trained to practice empathy and to meet people where they are emotionally, particularly if they're having a hard time. And that seems to come easy to me, but it's harder to be empathetic towards joy, especially if I'm not feeling it myself. But maybe I can borrow a little bit of Mary's joy. She seems to be sharing it so freely. In fact, the more I read the text, the more I think she wants us to be inspired by it. Her joy can be contagious. And so as I started to read this text again and again, I started to listen to her voice and her words more closely and imagine her singing it out loud. In her song, she claims hope and names it boldly. She's calling out for the revolution and invites us into it. And her song is like a portal or like a lens into seeing God at work through her and through her society and through us today. I think that's what's so magnificent about the Magnificat is we can take even the smallest thing and using this lens of her song, we can see the fullness of God magnified and amplified. And through her song of thanksgiving, Mary invites us into her experience because even if we aren't feeling hopeful ourselves, we can borrow some of her overwhelming and outpouring joy. And if you are feeling hopeful and joyful in this time, give yourself permission to feel it fully, to not feel guilty about feeling joyful, but to know that your joy is a blessing to inspire and to be shared with others. There have been times when I've felt as much joy as Mary too, and I know those glorious moments, what they're like, and they are beautiful, and they just seem to overflow that you just can't help but sing. And yeah, she's singing, by the way. she's singing. It's amazing. She just bursts into song. And this is a song that someone wrote down. I know that there's many artists and musicians here, and what it's like when the creative spirit just hits you, just need to just go with it fast. And perhaps, you know, 2,000 years ago, there was someone sitting nearby who happened to hear her melody and her music, the sound of her voice, and was just so taken, so moved that they grabbed whatever they could and wrote it down. Whoever was listening knew that this song must be remembered and shared with others. May we be such scribes who can witness and record and remember the joy of one another. So, even if we may not be feeling the full expression of her joy, perhaps we can be open to choosing to empathize with her anyway, to let Mary's joy and the joy of one another in this community remind us of what to look for, to look out for God's liberating activity in the world, to name the radical hope and all the ways that we can amplify Mary's song, and in time, to join in with our own. We share the sermon here at St. Lydia's. We'll spend a few moments in silent reflection, and then when you hear the bell sound, you are invited to share stories or experiences sparked by the sermon or the scripture. We don't share opinions or engage in crosstalk, but simply share stories as Jesus did, because through them we come to know each other more deeply. We begin in silence.